screens.
Yes, thank you. And for anything left, anything, if you could put your phone on mute or your device on mute, that'd be great.
Okay. And I apologize if I'm a little slow in any response, Mr. Romano. My audio for you is just a little bit funny. I can hear it, but I gotta work at it a bit. So
understood.
All right, Mr. Romano, we are good to go, and I believe that the complainant is on the phone as well. So
all right, are you recording? Yes, you are.
We are recording.
We will jump into it. The meeting of the June 24, 2021 Arizona State Board for Private Post-Secondary Education Complaints Committee is called to order at 1:01 p.m. The complaint committee, upon a majority vote of quorum of the members, may go into executive session for the purpose of obtaining legal advice pursuant to ARS 38-431.0383 on any matter on the agenda. The complaint committee, upon a majority vote of a quorum of the members, may also go into executive session to discuss or consider records exempt by law from public inspection, including the receipt and discussion of information or testimony that is specifically required to be maintained as confidential by state or federal law pursuant to ARS 38-431.0382. Since this meeting is being recorded, I will ask the complaint committee members and staff to introduce themselves for the record. This is Michael Romano, the chair of the complaint committee and board member.
Dr. Leck.
This is Dr. Jennifer Leck. I am a member of the board complaint committee.
Great. And this is Kevin Lamont, executive director.
Keith Blanchard, board staff.
Great. Jacqueline? I think we have Jacqueline on board.
Jacqueline Rome, staff.
Great. And Seamus?
Seamus Monahan, assistant attorney general.
Great. Thank you very much. Just as a reminder to our complaint committee members, please state your name when making a motion and also seconding a motion and when voting. So as we move forward on the agenda here, we will move to item number two, which is in regards to the complaint committee meeting minutes. Mr. Lamont, can you confirm that the meeting minutes of the March 25th, 2021 meeting are posted, audible, and reflect the official record of the meeting?
Mr. Romano, I can confirm the meeting minutes are posted. The audio minutes are posted on the website and audible.
Fantastic. Are there any questions from the board members?
All one of me, other one, no.
Exactly. Dr. Leck, based on that, would you like to make the motion for approval?
I'll make the motion if you second, and then we can reverse it. Other times, I'll motion to approve the complaint committee meeting minutes. From the March 25th, 2021 Complaint Committee meeting.
Michael Romano, I will second that motion as well. If we can, let's go ahead and take our official vote on that.
All right, I will call roll. Mr. Romano.
Yes. I approve.
And Dr. Luck.
I approve.
All right. By your vote of two ayes, no nays, the motion passes.
Fantastic. All right. We will now move to the third item on the agenda, which is review, discussion, and possible action on a student complaint. This is with the Arizona School of Acupuncture and Oriental Medicine. And we have the complainant as well of AW. Just as a reminder to all parties, please continue to refer to the student for confidentiality purposes by just their initials of AW. Mr. Lamont, you have confirmed that AW is with us on the phone today.
Let me confirm. So AW, is that your number, the 347 phone number?
Yes, this is AW.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Very good. Okay. AW, if if we could, we have had a chance. This is our second time around, just being transparent from our last meeting. When this complaint came forward, there was concern because we did not have a signed enrollment agreement, which prevented us from really taking any action because it wasn't seen as an official enrollment at that point in time. Since our last meeting, the school has been able to provide that signed enrollment agreement by you as a student, which is allowing us to progress in our discussion today. That said, we have been provided detailed information, not only from the institution, but also from yourself as well, that myself and Dr. Leck have had a chance to review. So I want to ask you if you'd like to make an opening statement, but I also want to give you guidance that please don't feel like you have to rehash everything that was that you've already provided to us, but feel like you can provide us with maybe a relevant update to the situation or something of that nature. Does that make sense?
Yes, definitely. I guess the main issue of my complaint, as I've submitted with all my documents, is just the fact that I was told the wrong information by the admissions counselor and McDean when I first brought up to her that I was became aware of the fact that they're not California Board certified. Actually, the first thing she said was Charlotte, who was the admissions, the head of admissions at the time, did not fully understand some of the nuances of our profession. So I feel like I was very much misled, and now I had to transfer to another school, and I really need the loan money refunded to me so I can finish and get my degree.
Thank you for that. I do have a couple questions for you, and just to let you know procedurally a few things as well. We'll invite the school to come forward and have questions for them as well. We often share this with complainants because it can often be overlooked. Our role as this committee is really to verify that the school lived within their policies and procedures of the communication of information, as well as following through on the any complaints brought forward to the school or appeals process. Sometimes complaints can feel like we're a court of law where we're making some determination on whether the school did right or wrong, or some of those types of obligations that might come through. So I just want to be clear. What we'll be evaluating today is the information that was provided. Was the school following procedures, their procedures or not? Any inconsistencies there to help us move forward with what is in our authority to make decisions. But now that I've tried to help clarify that, I wanted to come around a few things. It seems from the information provided, it was projected that the admissions representative, this was brought forward to them and they substantiated that yes, they do have the ability or they do qualify for this California approval. And your feeling from that is, even though that wasn't substantiated in writing, there was an email that went forth when you found out about that the school was not eligible for that, where one of the administrative personnel had stated that Charlotte was confused about the program and maybe misunderstood. I want to make sure I understand that clearly. Is that the case?
That's what happened, basically. I've pretty much fulfilled all of my California requirements because I went to school in California, and I looked at several different schools, and that was always my first question to make sure of that. And I was told the wrong information, and you know, I transferred schools, I moved across to a different state, I got a new apartment and all this stuff, and then I found out, you know, the second quarter in, that I was told the wrong info. And for me, that's very difficult because I've already put so much energy into having California licensure. And if I stayed at Tucson, I wouldn't have been able to do that.
So can I clarify real quick? Are you back in California now?
No. Luckily, I found a school in Phoenix that is certified by the California State Board, and I was able to transfer. But I had to pay tons of fees to transfer.
So when you, I believe, as I understood it, you had researched and went to the site for the California board that you're looking to seek certification or whatever from. I would assume that this school was not listed, but you looked at other schools that were listed?
I did not actually look at the California State Board website until after I was told by someone that they were not qualified at ASON, and that's when I found out.
So where did you get the list of schools that you were looking at and comparing?
I was looking at Google, basically, like just trying to find a school.
Okay.
Outside of the discussions that that you're alleging in regards to what took place with the admission representative, did you have anything else, anything in writing to support the fact that that the school represented itself as being qualified to meet that California standard?
Unfortunately, I looked to see if I did have it in an email, but I talked to her on the phone for like a half hour. I think it was the end of November of 2019 or the beginning of December of 2019. And when I went in for the interview at the school, they told me that not all of my credits would transfer, but they never once said I would not be able to sit for the California boards. Because if they did, I would have respectfully said thank you for your time and left, because I already did all the work to sit for them.
AW, did you review the student catalog of the school?
Actually, they didn't provide a student catalog until, I want to say, a week or two before I found out. Not even. Maybe like a few days before I found out from a teacher who said passingly that they weren't qualified by California. And I thought maybe the teacher was just mistaken. So I just was like, okay, it's probably just misinformation. And then I went to look it up and realized. But I didn't actually have any student handbook for months.
Does the school, do you post the catalog externally for everyone to see, or do you hand it out, or how do you distribute your catalog?
Yes, ma'am, it's available. It is available online. And as far as the handbook goes, because those are two separate things, the handbook is available through orientation. Orientation beginning actually with AW's class was online because we were going into the pandemic. Students remain enrolled in that orientation class throughout the quarter. All of the material associated with coming into the school is available within that orientation class and folder. So the handbook and various other articles of documentation can all be found there. We did have a period where we were doing catalogs handed out while we were doing updates and getting it online. It is available online now.
When were you doing that, prior to this or during this? Like, so I guess my question would be, what is in the catalog? If the catalog was posted externally for the public to review, so you've answered that it was public, but I need to know whether or not that was after or before the student's enrollment. And then also, is there anything included in that catalog description or anything regarding what this program meets or does not meet at all?
Right. So at the time of AW's enrollment, I would say more than likely the catalog wasn't online. The catalog itself wasn't online yet. What we did have on the link was, if you need a catalog, please contact this or this number, or send an email to this address, and a catalog will be provided for you. At the time of interview or anything like that, where people are on site, catalogs are here. Catalog hard copy can be gathered that way. I apologize. The second part of your, oh yes, the regarding licensure, we didn't have anything explicitly in there that says we don't do California licensure. What we had explicitly in the catalog is where we are, where we have the authority to, where we're qualified to provide people to take their licensure exams in, which is just Arizona, nowhere else. So only Arizona is listed there because that's the only place that we provide licensure in. The catalog now has been updated with a single line that says very directly, we do not do licensure in California.
Okay. So the regulatory information around that just says that you are approved to offer certification in Arizona, and it would stop there, or did it say you are approved to do certification in Arizona and nowhere, in no other state? Like, it doesn't have to specifically call California, but did you have that out there? Or is it literally just stops it? This is approved in Arizona. I'm trying to find the catalog.
I apologize. I'm actually not sure if it says specifically just Arizona, or if it just simply lists Arizona as the place where we're able to provide licensure.
AW, did you request the catalog from the school?
I did, and unfortunately, I requested it from my ASOM email, and I'm locked out of that, so I can't show you those emails from that time, because several members of my class were asking for it, because we didn't even know what sequence for classes we were supposed to take.
Mr. Hunnam, is there any reason why a request would not have been fulfilled by the school to provide catalog to these students?
No, there wouldn't have been any reason. I was not aware that there was that there were requests not being fulfilled. Generally, we're a small school, quite a small school, so generally when there's anything like that, it doesn't take very long for it to come up through the admin hallway. I didn't know that there was material not going out. The material was, that catalog was made available per request. The catalog was undergoing updates, and those updates all came with, just so you know, this catalog was being updated. So we were careful about making sure no one was getting misinformation with anything like that. But no, I have no prior knowledge to requests not being fulfilled for attaining that documentation, or for that documentation not being available. The vast majority of all documentation for students is available online. So,
AW, do you recall when you requested that catalog?
I know several members of my class requested it several times throughout our first quarter and for the part of the second quarter I was there. And it took a long time. Like I said, I only got it towards the end when I transferred out of ASOM. I did have my lawyer review everything, and he did not find anything about saying they're not California board certified or anything like that.
So I guess where I would kind of go in with the questions, I don't think a school necessarily has to say, here's all the places that we don't qualify for.
Correct.
Yeah. For clarity on that. But I'm also concerned that on your enrollment agreement, you acknowledged on page 6 of the 8-page document that accepting the fact that this agreement and the school catalog constitute the entire agreement between the student and the school. And so you acknowledge the fact that you understood that there was a school catalog, and you decided to continue forward with the process of enrolling, I guess, without the catalog. So you gave up that piece of it, and that's what I was trying to get clarity on. I don't know if you have a copy of the enrollment agreement, but again, on page 6 in section Q, number 4, that's where you'll see that statement. And then your initials at the bottom of that page. Do you have that document?
I'm not sure if I do. Again, I might have sent it via the ASOM email. Honestly, I've never been in a situation before where I was told wrong information by a school. So I never really looked at these kinds of documents before thinking, oh, they're trying to trick me or anything like that. So I just signed them because I've never had problems at any other post-secondary institution being told the wrong information, especially of such high importance before. So, and now, of course, I look very carefully at everything. But I didn't receive it. I know they kept asking us to sign stuff, so I just signed it.
So they're not obligated to give you that. It's your obligation to ask for it, and then if they deny you, that's an issue. And so what I'm trying to get at is we certainly have a situation where you're claiming that somebody told you something. There's not anything in writing to support the fact of being told that, and we don't have any documentation to support the fact that the school was promoting that they are approved for this through California. So that's where we're at a little bit of a difficult position, at least on my end. But Dr. Leck, you may have some additional questions.
Well, so interestingly enough, I think you went to a different section than I even went to, which is under R1, which, you know, AWU, actually your student initials are there. And I understand that you're saying that you didn't read it and you just signed it. But unfortunately, these are the documents that, you know, people are held to, both the institution as well as you, where it says, I hereby acknowledge receipt of the school's catalog dated spring 2020, which contains information describing programs offered, equipment, supplies, approved, which I think is a typo. The school catalog is included as part of the enrollment agreement. I acknowledge that I have received a copy of this catalog, and you have your initials on that. And then in addition, when you read down into, there's another section on the last page 8 of 8, which says, I, the undersigned, have read and understood this agreement and acknowledged the receipt of a copy. It is further understood and agreed that this agreement supersedes all prior or contemporaneous verbal or written agreements that may not be fulfilled without the written agreement of the student and the school officials. So I think between those two things, it kind of puts us in a pickle, because this is what you signed prior to enrolling in the program.
I understand that, but it nowhere in there does it say they're not California Board certified. Nowhere in there.
But
and that's what I was told.
But okay, so there's two things though. When you make statements, you have to make statements that are factual, right? So and this is going to go for any entity, any school is going to have to do this, which is, if you say that it is approved here, that doesn't necessarily mean you have to go and say it's not approved everywhere else. It's the affirmative. And so the issue here is that what you're stating is you were told this thing prior to completing the enrollment agreement, the date, and the agreement actually says that it supersedes any verbal admissions made prior to that. So I don't know where to go with this, because you signed a document that states both of these things.
This is where AW becomes difficult for us, because as I mentioned before, we have to verify that the school is following procedures and what we can establish from that to see, do they have a catalog? Have they made the catalog available? Has the The party, in this case the student, had the opportunity to receive that. Were they denied that? Did they acknowledge that they received it? And to Dr. Leck's points, the other elements of it, that's what we're required to evaluate and make determination on. It doesn't mean you don't have other available avenues for you for recourse on this particular situation. It just, this is what we are challenged with and tasked with in our review today.
May I ask what date it says that I signed this?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that question?
On the enrollment agreement that you have, because I don't have a copy of it. What day does it say? What's the date?
April 1, 2020.
Okay.
And it, not that I have by any means certified in looking at signatures or anything of that nature, but it does look very consistent with your signature through the complaints committee. Documents that you provided as well.
I completely understand that. Again, I never in my wildest dreams ever imagined that this could happen. I mean, it's going to take me almost another year to complete school. And I'm just trying to figure out what's the right avenue to go by. I mean, I was told the wrong information and I'm in $16,000 more of debt, which doesn't do anything for me. Everything I took there didn't transfer. And I'm just appalled that that happened and that no one told me that during any interviews or anything, that they weren't certified. If I had a student coming from California, that's the first thing I would tell them.
May I say something really quickly?
If you can.
No.
Just,
nope.
Hold. So, AW, I appreciate that, and we're certainly doing our best to empathize with your situation, and we want to be very respectful to you and the institution as well. I do want to share, though, that now it seems more as though you're presenting it in a way that says you were never told that they weren't approved for California. Which is a little bit different, but that aside, we're still in this situation of where we don't have any type of documentation to support the school misrepresented outside of verbal dialogue back and forth, which you had clarified you were told prior to your enrollment, and then the going through the signing of the enrollment agreement where you acknowledge not only that the student catalog, you're living into the student catalog, but the student catalog was provided to you as well, and that it circumvents any previous discussion or agreements or verbal discussions that took place, which does put the obligation on you as the consumer to read the information appropriately, what you're signing and what you're agreeing to. I do know as well the school offered to refund you the amount of $6,637 to your loan, which they had reached out, but then communication had broken down. I just want to verify that you did receive that information, or at least that offer from the institution to make you whole on at least that portion of the debt.
I did receive that offer. I had specifically asked that they just refund the loan, because I would have never taken out the loan if Charlotte hadn't told me they were qualified in California.
Okay. I don't have any further questions myself. Dr. Leck, do you have any additional questions?
I don't. I think, you know, we have to go off of what evidence is provided and timelines of dates. And so I feel like that's where we're at.
Okay. For the institution, Mr. Hunnam, I guess I'll just ask you this. Is the offer of the refunding of the $6,637 still on the table as something the institution would be willing to do for the student?
It is not, sir.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
If the institution would like to make a statement now, I think it would be appropriate.
Thank you.
Thank you. I apologize for interjecting earlier. I just wanted to go on record here since I know this is recorded. And I know this information has been provided, but we did follow up with the admissions director at the time. excuse me. We do have this this recruitment process documented, including the phone call referred to earlier by AW. There's no mention of California licensure that we can find or request or a requirement for that. And in addition to that, I myself sit in the admissions interview with our academic dean at the time, Dr. Celia Hildebrand. And the first thing we go over is California licensure. We do it whether you're a student transferring from California, whether you come from California, if you moved from California, if you lived in California, or if you're just coming here, because we don't provide it, and we want people to be sure and clear on the fact that we don't provide it. We even spoke to other students to kind of get a baseline for ourselves and make sure, hey, this is happening. We do this in every interview. And we've also moved into procedurally documenting that now for every interview, aside from having just done it before. But that's, I just wanted to back up with that from conversation earlier.
Thank you. Since you offered this, and I guess I asked this clarifying question, there was an email that was received, at least by one of your faculty, that did suggest that the admissions representative was not familiar with the process. Can you help us understand why that would have occurred?
Yes, sir. That was one of the first, thank you for the question and the opportunity. That was one of the first questions, one of the first email responses that came out when the accusation or claim came forward against the school. And I think it was a bit of a knee-jerk email. We hadn't done anything. We hadn't looked into anything. There was a lot going on at the time, being in the period that that everything was taking place, so it was a quick fire reaction from an admin member, sort of an oh no, and we followed that up directly with calling the admissions director, going through all of the emails. They're documented through the student management system, combing through that, three different people going through that, all of the back and forth that we could find, and again, having spoken to the admissions director at the time, who's a very, I want to say qualified, very experienced admissions person. She's been doing it for many, many, many years. And again, her response was that it's specifically why she documents everything within a recruitment cycle. So when she sent emails, she would connect those into the database, so that they went under a feed that we could follow and track all the way down. So yeah, it was a quick response of sort of an email version of an oh no. But
I have a quick question. Does your recruitment staff send an email that summarizes conversations had with prospective students that would have incorporated everything they talked about in that call? Or is it not part of your process?
That was the practice of our admissions director at the time. So for that admission cycle specifically, that was taking place. Every phone call, I spoke with AW this evening, covered, and it'd be a couple sentence paragraph just breaking down what the conversation was on, what points were covered.
Yeah, that's usually like in a customer relationship management system. I'm asking, do you guys also send a summary email to the student or to the prospective student that says this is everything we talked about? I'm just asking if that's part of your process or not.
I don't believe so. I don't believe that is. But if I'm not mistaken, I have to verify this, but if I'm not mistaken, our student management system does allow access to that log under the student's profile from the admissions process, if that makes sense.
Yeah, but that might help you. Just a maybe suggestion, small.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you for that.
Okay. I have no further questions. Dr. Leck, any further questions?
No, sir.
Okay. Dr. Leck, would you like to make a motion or would you like me?
How about you? We'll take turns.
Okay. All right. I'm just going to help try and provide some basis of why I'm making this motion. And I realize these are never pleasant, right? We get to these points because both parties feel as though they could not come to a resolution prior to this piece of it. As I mentioned before, our responsibility as the complaints committee is to review the information that's provided to us to try and make determination of did the school represent itself appropriately and factually from what we can tell, and do documents either support that or not support that. And in this case, we really do not have any documentation to support the claim that there was a verbal statement that was made that the institution was qualified or met the California requirements. We do have documentation to support the acknowledgement by the student post even the discussions that were claimed of the fact that they received a student catalog, had an opportunity to review, and were agreeing to the terms of what the school had provided. And for those reasons, I make a motion to dismiss this complaint.
I second.
Okay. Mr. LaMountain, if we could take roll call vote.
Absolutely. Mr. Romano?
Michael Romano, aye.
Dr. Leck?
Aye.
By your votes of two ayes, no nays, the motion passes to dismiss.
Okay. This concludes that matter. We will now move forward to item number four on our agenda, which is a call to the public. Public is encouraged. Presentations are limited to 5 minutes. Please be aware, however, that the committee may not discuss, consider, or take action at this meeting on any item not scheduled on the agenda during the meeting. During the meeting, additional public comment may be requested, but is generally not allowed. And just for clarity, understanding we just resolved or took action on a particular matter, that is not up for discussion. So I will put that out there for any call to the public.
I see no hands raised, Mr. Romano.
Thank you, Mr. Romano. I appreciate that. With that, then, we will adjourn our complaint committee meeting at 1:38 p.m. on June 24th, 2021. Thank you very much and have a good day.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Take care. Bye.
Thank you, everyone.